مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of my channel, whenever you are blessed with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jal, the masjid, first and foremost, you must realize that you're very, very lucky. Allah Azza wa Jal has blessed you. You're amongst the fortunate ones that Allah Azza wa Jal has allowed you to come into His house. But in coming into His house, if you can come according to the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would always enter the masjid with his right foot and he would make the dua for entering the masjid. If you can also make the intention that when you come into the masjid, you make the intention for nafli itikaf, and you can say it in any language, English, Potwari, Gujarati, whatever yours, or you can just say it in your heart that I make the intention of spending this time in the masjid in nafli itikaf. May I remind you to eat, to drink, and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of those things become allowable and you get the reward as well. A lot of people think that only itikaf can be spent in the month of Ramadan, but nafli itikaf can be a few moments. If I was to leave my PC tablet here, and I was to go out the masjid, and I remembered, and I came in, and I made the intention for nafli itikaf, that time that it takes me to walk from the door to here, to pick up my PC tablet and go out and take it, would be written in my record of deeds that I spent that time in nafli itikaf. Small amount of effort, but inshallah, huge amount of reward. There are many blessings in reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala wasallam is reported to have said, "O people, indeed the one who will gain quick salvation from the terrors and accountability of the Day of Judgment will be the one amongst you who sent the most salat upon me." So viewers of the channel and brothers here, please make a habit of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In our lives and our daily routines, we can, you know, people use the word nowadays, multitasking, yeah? It's very easy to multitask. You can be driving to work, you can be reciting Durood e Pak. You can be waiting for the bus, you're reciting Durood e Pak. You're waiting for a customer, you can be reciting Durood e Pak. And all of this waiting time should never be wasted time. And one of the best ways of utilizing your time is reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Who knows that one extra Durood e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. For dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated that there were three people from Bani Israel. One was a leper, a person who suffers from a skin disease. The second was bald-headed, and the third was blind. Allah Azza wa Jal sent angels to test them. And the angel, in the form of a human being, went to the person suffering from leprosy and said to him, "What would you like the most?" And he said, "Obviously, I would like to be cured from this disease, that I have this disease of leprosy." So the angel then passed his hand over the body of the person, and he immediately became cured of leprosy. The angel then said to him, "What kind of wealth would you like? Would you like any wealth?" And he said that, "I like camels." You know, at that time, camels were an expensive commodity. They're an expensive commodity now. So this angel then gave him a pregnant camel, a camel that was expecting a child. And he was immediately happy with what he was given. Then the angel went to the person that didn't have any hair and similarly said to him, "What do you want?" And he said, "I would like to have hair. All my life I've not had hair. I want hair." Yeah. Again, it shows you that we're not happy with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. He said, "I'd like to have hair." So again, he passed his hand over his head and Allah Azza wa Jalla blessed him with a full head of hair. Then he said to him, "What kind of wealth would you like?" And he said, "I like cows." Yeah. And he was given a pregnant cow. And he was obviously happy with his lot. Then he came to the blind person and said to him, "But do you want anything?" And he said, "All my life I've been blind. I'd like to be able to see. I'd like to be able to see people in front of me. If I could have this blessing of sight." So the angel passed his hand over his face and immediately he was given sight. And then he was said to him, "What do you want? Do you want any wealth?" He said, "Yes, I'd like to have goats." He gifted him a pregnant goat. Now, as time passed, you know, the pregnant camel gave birth to camels and so on and so on and so on. He had a whole herd of camels. Similarly, the person that had cows, he now had a whole herd of cows. And the person that had goats, he had a whole herd of goats. They became wealthy people. Now, Allah Azza wa Jal then sent the angel in the form of a poor person. And he went to the first person and said to him that, you know, you have all this wealth. You have all this wealth. You have all of this for the sake and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Give me something. I need something. I'm struggling. And the person said that I have loads of responsibilities. I can't give you anything. And the angel then said to him, "I don't think you know who I am." And he said to him that, "Are you not the one who is suffering from leprosy? Didn't Allah Azza wa Jal bless you? There was a time where people would not even go near you. They detested you. But Allah Azza wa Jal blessed you. Will you not give me something from your wealth? Did Allah Azza wa Jal not give you all this wealth?" Now, he didn't realize that it was the same angel. And he lied to him. He said, "No. This, all these camels that I got it through inheritance. It was passed through generations. This is what I've inherited, this wealth." So the angel then went away and said, "You have not been thankful with whatever Allah Azza wa Jal has given you." He then came to the other person that was originally bald and now he had loads of cows. And again, when he spoke to him, in the same way, he said, no, I've got this responsibility. I can't give you anything. I need all these cows. I can't afford to give anything away. I'm struggling as it is." Even though he had so many cows, he was not happy with his lot and was not willing to give anything in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then the angel went to the third person who was blind, originally was blind, and said to him that, "You know, I'm struggling. I'm starving. Please give me something." And this person who was originally blind, now he had a whole herd of goats. He said, "Allah Azza wa Jal bless me. Allah Azza wa Jal give me everything. Take whatever you want. Because all of this that I have got today is through the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal." And the angel replied to him, said that, "You are the blessed one." Allah Azza wa Jal then took all the wealth away from the other people. But Islam brothers, from this incident we learn that helping the needy in times where they need you with the wealth that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. This is the first thing that we need to realize. That in this particular incident, we can see that Allah Azza wa Jal gave them that pregnant camel or that cow or the goat. But in the same way, every penny that you have got in your pocket, every penny that you've got in the bank, every wealth that you've got, Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. This is the first thing that we need to realize. That Allah Azza wa Jal has given you. You may say, "Well, you know what, brother, I work hard. I work 12 hours a day. Yeah. I have to slog it out to earn that money." You may say, "Well, look, I had to go to university. You know, I had to do a hard degree. It was really hard studying. I was up till 12 o'clock at night, getting up at 6 o'clock in my exams. It was so hard. I put in all the hard work." My dear Islamic brothers and viewers here, and brothers here, who give you the strength to work 12 hours a day? You will all know people that cannot get out of bed. You are blessed that Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you that strength to be able to work. Who give you the intellect to get that degree to become a doctor, a lawyer, and a barrister? Who give you the opportunities? This is the other thing. Who give you these opportunities? The people that are sat in this room today, they all come from the Pak, Hind, subcontinent. The majority of the people are here. You will know people in your countries, in Pakistan and India, that are very, very poor. And you will probably, there will be people here that are sat here today that will have more money in their pockets right now. Right now, they will have more money in their pockets right now than people in these countries don't have in a full month. Why? How did you get this? And you may say, "Well, I struggled and I got this visa and I did this and I did." Who give you that? Who give you them opportunities? What is the difference between you making £1,000 a week and a person sitting on the side of a road selling pencils in a poor country, in Africa or India or Asia, wherever he is? There is no difference. The only difference is that Allah Azza wa Jal has given you this opportunity. These are all blessings from Allah Azza wa Jal. And my dear Islam brothers, no matter how economically advanced a country is, there is always poor people around. Even here in this country, there are poor people around. And Allah Azza wa Jal has given wealthy and prosperous people the responsibility. It is our responsibility to meet the needs of poor people. If Allah Azza wa Jal wanted, he could have made everybody rich. But the people that are there are poor are our responsibility. Those people that have money, it's our responsibility. But they will not be questioned about the wealth because they haven't got it.
If you haven't got any wealth, you won't be questioned about it. So you may think I'm doing really, really well. You may think I've got loads and loads of money, but you will be questioned about that wealth. So you are the fortunate ones in one way, but also is now your responsibility. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us the zakat and the form of sadaqah to spend in the way of Allah. As Muslims, we're encouraged. In fact, zakat is obligatory upon us, but sadaqah and all these things, we're encouraged to spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. The responsibility to people to look after others. Allah Azza wa Jalla said in the Quran, in Surah Al-An'am, verse 165, and I give you the translation from Kanzul Iman, and it is He who made you vicegerents on earth. O people, He has raised one over the other in ranks amongst you, in order that He may test you with what He has bestowed upon you. Allahu Akbar. Regarding this verse, my dear strong brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, Alama Maulana Sayyid Mufti Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Ramadullah states, i.e. He makes you undergo tests and trials and observes how grateful you are after gaining a high status, blessings and wealth, and how you treat one another. What happens is people all of a sudden, they've not got anything. But now all of a sudden they got money and they start looking down on people. All of a sudden they got status, they start looking down on people. All of a sudden they got position and they start looking down on people. Why? You're not so special. You're still a human being, you're still an individual. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with wealth. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with status. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with authority. And now you're looking down on people? It can only take a blink of an eye and you can be lower than that person. So we shouldn't never be arrogant. We should never have this pride inside and start looking down on people. These are tests. If Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you money, it's a test. If Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you power, it's a test. If Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you authority, it is a test. And Allah Azza wa Jalla clearly says in the Quran that He may test you with what He has bestowed upon you. So from this, we see, viewers on the channel, that this dunya is full of test and trial. Here, some people are being tested with blessings. Some are being tested by being deprived of them blessings. Some people are blessed that they have children. And some people are tested at the fact that they don't have children. So it could be any form of test. But it's how you deal with that test. Are you going to be thankful with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you? And this is where we need to develop a mindset that whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given me, do shukr. Be thankful. You do not realize how lucky you are. The fact that you all walked into this building today is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The fact that you can all see me is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The fact that you can hear me is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. The fact that I can stand up in front of you is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. These are all blessings. Are they not enough? And yet we worry about other things. I've used this example many times, but I'm going to use it again. When you go home tonight, get your hand like that. Get some tape and tape up your hand. Try living for 1 hour like that. Try picking up a cup of tea. Try opening a door. Try using your mobile phone. Within 1 hour, you'll realize that, Ya Allah, how lucky I am that I've got a thumb. Ya Allah, how lucky am I that I have got a thumb. And this would seem so insignificant. We've not talked about the hand, the arm. We've not talked about the feet, the legs. We've not talked about the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue, all these things. The fact that we are breathing, the fact that we are walking, the fact that we are talking, all of these are great blessings. And yet we are looking and thinking, why? Why have I not got that? We need to be thankful for whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us. If Allah Azza wa Jalla has not blessed you with a lot, then you need to be thankful. You need to do sabr. But if Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with more, then that's also a test as well. Whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla gives us is a test for us. Therefore, by being patient and thankful in every circumstance, we should try to happily give sadaqah, spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, according to the Shooting Rulers. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Hadith, verse number 10, and what is the matter with you that you do not spend in the way of Allah? Whereas Allah is the inheritor of all that is in the heavens and in the earth. Regarding this verse, Alama Mulana Sayyid Muhammad Nimuddin Murabadi Ramatullah states that eventually a person will perish, but his wealth will remain. The possession of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that person will not gain the reward of giving charity. If you spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, you will attain great reward. You know, a lot of people, they put it in the will that put this money there. Spend it whilst you're alive. That is the test, isn't it? Because what happens is you don't want to spend it, well, because I might need it. I might need the money. But you know that once I've died, I'm not going to need the money, so then give it in the way. No. Spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla whilst you're alive. Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Imran, verse 92, says, you shall never reach righteousness until you spend the thing that you love in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is aware of whatever you spend. Allah Azza wa Jalla is aware of whatever you spend. And with regards to this, Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu is of the opinion that spending here refers to the general spending of all sadaqat, regardless of whether it is obligatory or voluntary. It is a saying of Hassan that whatever is beloved to Muslims and is spent for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal is also included in this verse, even if it is a date. Even if it is a date, if you give it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, you will be rewarded for it. Sayyidina Umar bin Abdul Aziz, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, used to purchase sacks of sugar to give a sadaqah. And he was asked, why don't you give its value in sadaqah? He replied, I love sugar. I love eating sugar. So I want to spend the thing that I love the most in the way of Allah. This mindset of what do you love the most? Are you willing to give it in the way of Allah? You know, are we willing to give anything in the way of Allah? Nowadays, you know, people come to us and we struggle. And nowadays we only give in the way of Allah if our name's mentioned. You know, some years ago, I was traveling. It was on the day of Friday. And I went into a town not very far from here. And I found out where the local masjid was and I went to pray Jumu'ah there. And I arrived maybe 10, 15 minutes before the Jamaat. And the Imam Sahib finished his khatib. And the committee member got up. And the committee member said that, you know, for the last 6 weeks, we've not made any announcements. You know, like in masjids, they make announcements that, you know, this brother's given £50, that brother's given £50. We've not made any announcements. Because the Imam Sahib has said that this time is when the masjid is full. You know, because a lot of people turn up late. He said, this time is the masjid is full. Give me that time. So I can teach the Muslims something. I can give them a masail, teach them something. And the committee said, yeah, you're right. The masjid is full at that time. Yeah, everybody's in the masjid at that time. Everybody turns up lastminute.com. Yes, speak at that time. So for the last 6 weeks, the Imam Sahib is speaking right until the Jamaat time. But unfortunately, our donations have gone down. Allahu Akbar. So now we're going to go back to our own ways. And he got this notice board out and he said, such and such person give £50, such and such person give £30, such and such 30. And I'm thinking, ye kya, what is this? That we're only spending in the way of Allah if our name's mentioned? Is it not enough that it's recorded in that book of deeds? If you give something to the masjid today, £1,000, your name, they'll remember it today, they'll forget it tomorrow. But in that book of deeds, if you give it with ikhlas, with sincerity, it'll be there and you'll be rewarded for it. And that's where we need to have this mindset. We shouldn't be giving it to show off. Yes, if you give it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla and you want your name mentioned and your intention is that will encourage others, now that's different. If your intention is to encourage others because I've given £100, if people say that this brother's given £100, maybe other people give £100, that's different. But if you're giving it so that people know, oh, achha, mashallah, wow, what a great person he is, yeah? He's given £1,000 to the masjid, wow, amazing. And you want that praise, that's what you want, that's the reason that you're doing it. Then think to yourself, that is what you will get. You will get in life, whatever is your intention, that's what you will get. If your intention is to get praise, you'll get praise. If your intention is to please your Rabb, then inshallah, you'll please your Rabb. So it's up to you what you want. That is the question. So Allah motivates us to spend the things we like the most in His way. Therefore, viewers of Mother Channel and Islam Brothers, we should speak, we should give wholeheartedly, give sadaqah and not be stingy. Sayyidina Asma bin Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala, has narrated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me, do not withhold your hand, otherwise you will be withheld from. Allahu Akbar. So viewers of the channel, wealth is a huge blessing from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And whoever Allah Azza wa Jalla is blessed with wealth should value this blessing and should not gather it unnecessarily or should he use it in useless activities. That's the other thing. You know, you've got this money. I'm not going to say to you it's haram to buy a big house. I'm not going to say it's haram to you to buy a big sports car. But at the same time, to waste money. We should never waste money as well. Just because you've got it, I'm going to waste it. Yeah? No, that should not happen. If you need if you want a nice car, have a nice car. You want a nice house, have a nice house. If you want five cars, have them. But don't waste that money. And we see people now, they're wasting money just because they've got it. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you. Don't waste money. Whatever you got. I mean, we say in our deen is so beautiful, it says don't even waste water. So when it comes to your wealth, do not waste your wealth as well. I'm going to give you five hadiths of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that hopefully should encourage you and make you realize how important it is to spend in the way of Allah azza wa jalla. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah azza wa jalla stated, O son of Adam, store something out of your treasure with me. It will neither burn, sink, nor will it ever be stolen. I will recompense you in full at that time when you will be the most in need of it. When you will need it the most, that is when I will give it you. You know, if you in time of need in this dunya,
when you're struggling, you've got a financial problem, yeah? And all of a sudden you need some money. And someone comes at that time where you're really struggling, comes and said, brother, don't worry, here's £1,000. You're going to think, shukka, yeah, what a great person this is. That I'm in my time of need, I'm in my difficulty, I need this money now, and he has come to me. You'll never forget that person. Allah is saying, I will give it you when you need it the most. When you need it the most, when you need them deeds the most, I will give it you now. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah said, commence your morning with sadaqah. Calamity does not go beyond sadaqah. A lot of people have this habit. Alhamdulillah, Dawud's family has these money boxes. People put the money boxes in the home, and before they leave to go to work in the morning, put something in it. Even if it's a few pennies. Put a few pennies in it. Because the Prophet of Allah said, commence your morning with sadaqah, because calamity does not go beyond sadaqah. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah said, indeed, the sadaqah of Muslims increases his lifespan and repels a bad death. And Allah Azza wa Jal removes arrogance and boasting from the one who gives charity. What greater reward? You know, it's an opportunity. When he mentions here a bad death, what is a bad death? A bad death is also where you die without iman. That's the worst death that you can have. And if you can spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, then inshallah Azza wa Jal, there's an opportunity where inshallah you will die with your iman. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, certainly sadaqah protects the giver of sadaqah from the heat of the grave. And indeed, a Muslim will be under the shade of his sadaqah on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who gives sadaqah for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal, that sadaqah becomes an obstacle for him between him and the hellfire. But again, what's so important here, for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's where we need to change our mindset, not only in giving sadaqah, but everything. Everything in our life, it should be for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, I've mentioned it many, many times. I don't know if I mentioned it here. But nowadays, people talk about bucket lists. You know, they want to make a bucket list. On the bucket list, there's all the things that they want to do in their life. Yeah. I want to get a detached house, I want to get this car, I want to go here, I want to go there. And they put this list. And when they've done this list, they tick them off. And the most important things are at the top of the list. Now, if we are honest, on our bucket list, do we have to please my Rabb? Is it on our list? It's not even on our list. Is it on our list to attain paradise? Is that on our list? It's not even on our list. And that's where we need to change. We need to change our mindset. Yes, have all them things on your bucket list, tick them off. But the top priority needs to be to please my Rabb. And unfortunately, as Muslims, what we do nowadays is our deen has become our hobby. A hobby is something that you do when you've got a bit of spare time. Yeah? If you haven't got time, you don't do it. Got time, I'll go and do that hobby. If I haven't got time, never mind. And that's what's happened with our deen. If we've got time, we go and read our namaz. We haven't got no bar. The Ramzan comes, we look at our work timetable and think, oh, I've got a lot of overtime this month. I won't be able to fast. Yeah? It's a bit easy. Okay, I'll fast this month. Zakat, we think, yeah, well, I'll give it this year, or I won't bother giving it this year. Hajj becomes farz upon you, I'll wait a while. You know, this is not our deen. Our deen should not be our hobby, our deen is our life. And that's how we need to live our life. Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa, radiallahu ta'ala, has narrated that a poor person came to her home for some food. She herself was fasting and there was only one loaf of bread in the home. And she told her maid to give her this. And the maid said that if I give this bread, then there will be nothing left for you. Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala said, give that loaf of bread. Only one loaf of bread in the house. Give that loaf of bread. She's fasting. Give that loaf of bread. The maid gave the bread away. Before the evening approach, the alibat or someone who used to send gifts sent the meat of a goat covered in a cloth to her. And Sayyidina Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu ta'ala then called the maid and said, eat from this. It is better for you than the bread. So giving in the way of Allah, Allah will give you back. It's narrated that Sayyidina Abu Ja'far bin Khattab, Ramatullah Ta'ala, was an abdal, a saint of a high rank of his time. He goes on to state that once a beggar came to my doorstep and asked for help. I asked my wife if there's anything to give to them. She replied that there are only 4 eggs. I've only got 4 eggs in the house. I said, give it to the beggar. She did so and the beggar left with those eggs. After some time, a friend of mine sent me a basket full of eggs. I asked my household members as to how many eggs were in the basket. They replied that there were 30 eggs. You give 4 eggs to the beggar, so according to that which calculation, we have received 30 eggs. She replied that there are 30 unbroken eggs and 10 broken ones. And what had happened was that when he gave these 4 eggs, there was 3 that weren't broken and 1 was broken.
And when he got the eggs back, someone had rewarded him and given him eggs. He was given 30 eggs and 10 broken eggs. Elaborating on this story, Sheikh Allama Yafi Yiramani has stated that some people say regarding this incident that out of the 4 eggs that were given to a beggar, 1 was broken and 3 were unbroken. Allah Azza wa Jalla gives 10 in place of each of those eggs. The broken eggs for the broken one and the unbroken ones for the unbroken ones. Allahu Akbar. Amir al-Mu'mineen Sayyidina Ali al-Murtaza, the 4th Khalifa, stated, if worldly wealth comes to you, spend some from it. This is because it will not finish by being spent. Remember this, your wealth will not finish from being spent. If worldly wealth turns from you and leaves, you should still spend from it because it will never remain forever. You all know this. If, for example, you sell something, you sell your car, you sell your house or something, and you've got that money. Now, with that money, unless you do something with that money, slowly, slowly, slowly it disappears. You spend it here, you spend it here, you spend it there, you spend it there. Gosh, if only that, instead of spending it here, there, and here, there, and here, there, you spend some in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So whenever wealth comes to you, whenever this blessing comes to you, spend it in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And again, if we are honest with ourselves, the events that take place in our lives where we're getting our children married and the things that happen at these ceremonies, is it not excessive spending? Is it not a waste of money? To the youngster that are here today, instead of hiring sports cars when you're getting married, just think how many families could have a ration for the whole month and yet you drive a sports car for a few hours on the day of a friend's wedding or on the day of your wedding. If only our youngsters that are here today and the youngsters that are watching say to that parents that when I get married, I don't want any sports cars. I'll say to my friends, don't get any sports cars. We'll go in a simple car, we'll go there. And that money, we'll spend it and give it in the way of Allah. If only we had this mindset. Now, I'm not going to say it's haram to get a sports car. I'm not going to say it's haram to do any of these things. But the mindset is there as well. We need to have this mindset. And we need to spend in that. And we are told that if we spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, inshallah, it'll be a barrier between us and the hellfire. It has been stated that avoid the fire even with a piece of a date. Even if you give that amount, that inshallah, Azza wa Jalla, we'll be able to save ourselves from the hellfire. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one morsel of bread, one handful of dates, or anything besides this will give benefit to the needy. Due to these, Allah Azza wa Jalla enters 3 people into paradise. The owner of the house who gave the order, the wife who prepares that food, and the servant who goes and gives it to the needy. All these people will benefit from it. You know, in the same way, when Dawud Islam is collecting money for any project or anything, there used to be a time where personally I would never touch the money. I'd say, there's the finance, give it to him. Now, whenever somebody goes, says, give me the money, I get the money and I give it to him because every hand that that money passes through, that person will get the reward as well. So we should never be afraid of collecting money in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla as well. Viewers of the channel and brothers here, sadaqah is not only money. Sadaqah is other things as well. You can give sadaqah and not give money. Yeah? Smiling. Smiling is a form of sadaqah. Now you're thinking, this is easy now. You're not asking for my money. I can smile, that's okay. I'll smile, that's okay. Now he's on my level. Before, for the last 30 minutes, he's been talking about money and he's making me worried about how I'm going to spend. But now I'm saying, just smile. Smile is a way of sadaqah. Calling someone towards righteousness, giving niki ki dawat, is a form of sadaqah. Telling someone the way, someone's got lost, and you're telling someone the way, is a form of sadaqah. Helping someone that is weak-sighted, someone that's struggling to see across the road, is a form of sadaqah. Guiding a lost person to his destination is sadaqah. Removing a stone, a thorn, or a bone from the path is a form of sadaqah. These are all forms of sadaqah. And we've heard earlier on the rewards for sadaqah. Just doing these things, you will get the reward. Placing water from your own bucket into a brother's bucket is sadaqah. Lending money to someone is sadaqah. Refraining from spreading evil, stopping evil spreading is a form of sadaqah. Being fair and just between two individuals is a form of sadaqah. Helping someone get onto the, mount to ride, it said in the book, but helping someone get into the car or helping someone come out the house and get into the car is a form of sadaqah. Speaking good is a form of sadaqah. Going to offer salah is sadaqah. Removing something harmful from the path is sadaqah. Planting a tree or crop from which a person, bird or animal will eat is a form of sadaqah. A person struggling financially, giving sadaqah in accordance to his means, is the superior form of sadaqah. If a person only has £100 and he gives £100, if a person has £1 million and he gives £1,000, who's got the greater reward? The person that's given that smaller amount. Because that's all he has. And we see from our pious predecessors that they gave everything that they had. They had one loaf of bread, they gave one loaf. They had four eggs, they gave four eggs. Whatever they had, they gave. Giving sadaqah, is despite having this desire for wealth, giving sadaqah despite having fear of falling into financial difficulty, these are all superior forms of sadaqah. Likewise, a Muslim learning Islamic knowledge and then teaching it to his Islamic brother is also a form of sadaqah. Feeding a hungry person is a form of sadaqah. Giving sadaqah in Ramadan, giving sadaqah to relatives. Again, this is another important thing, that what happens is a lot of people will give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, but we forget our relatives. Our relatives, we should give to them first. We should try and give in such a way that our relatives stand on their own two feet, that they can live their lives, an honorable life, that we pray that we give to our relatives in such a way that today people are giving zakat to them, the day comes where they are in a position where they can give zakat. So we should help our needy, our poor and needy relatives. It is our responsibility. And like I said at the beginning, I said so many times today, that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with this wealth. So whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with, you will be asked about it on the Day of Judgment. Whatever blessings you have, on the Day of Judgment, you will be asked that there was a thirsty person there, what did you do? There was a hungry person there, why did you not feed him? There's a person there that needed clothes, why did you not clothe them? What will your answer be on that day? You know, you can't say, oh, well, I didn't see them, but you did see them. You do know. We know that there are Muslims around the world that are poor and needy and not as fortunate as we are. And we have our own relatives that are poor and needy and not as fortunate as we are. What are we doing to help them? Please, you know, spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And never have this mindset that if I spend it, it's gone. You know, there's many, many examples that you can read about that when someone spends in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, they've got £20 and they give £10. And they say, well, you know, you said to me, I will never lose that wealth. And now I've only got £10. Started off with £20, you're given £10, now I've only got £10. So logically you would think, well, now I'm down by £10. But that sadaqah can save you from a calamity, as we mentioned earlier on. Maybe if you'd not given that £10 in sadaqah, you could have had an accident. You could have had a burst tire and had to put a new tire on for £150. Yeah? And all of these things could have happened, so that sadaqah has saved you from their calamities. So again, this is the mindset that we have, that whatever we spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla, our wealth is not going down. Our wealth is not going down. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saving us from calamities. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saving us from problems. You decide not to give in the way of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Instead, what could happen? Any calamity could come to you. You may think, oh, I can't because I need to do this overtime. Something could happen which means you can't even go to work. So again, we need to have this mindset. And this is where we need to change. As Muslims, we look like Muslims. As Muslims, we eat like Muslims. But as Muslims, we don't think like a Muslim should think. And a Muslim should think about pleasing his Rabb. A Muslim should think about how can I attain paradise? What are my opportunities? In most cases, we think like businessmen. We think like businessmen, oh, if I do this, I'll make £10. But if I do that, I'll make £20. If I do that, I'll make £50. But what we should be thinking is, if I do this, I'll please my Rabb. But if I do that, I'll please my Rabb even more. And if I do that, inshallah, I'll please my Rabb even more. And as the ummah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we are fortunate, we are blessed that on the day of Jummah, giving sadaqah is more reward. The month of Ramadan is coming, that every day is more reward. Shab-e-Barat, Shab-e-Miraj, Laylatul Qadr, all of these times, these are like the golden days for the ummah. The ummah is blessed that in these days you can earn more. What, earn more what? No more money. No, earn more reward. And that's where a Muslim should look for them opportunities. In the same way you look for opportunities to earn more money, you should look for more opportunities to earn the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is where we need to change our mindset. This is where we need to change our mindset. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, if I've said anything wrong, may Allah Azza wa Jalla forgive me. And I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah give you and me the tawfiq to think about what I've said, to act upon what I've said, and to pass this message on to others as well. Ameen bijahin nabi al-ameen. Sallu ala al-habib.
O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep us safe.